Welcome to Comfort and Closure, Conversations with a Death Doula. I'm your host, Tracy Arielli. Each week, I bring you guests who've dedicated themselves to helping people navigate the practical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of aging, death, and grieving. Grab your favorite warm drink and settle in for an enlightening conversation that aims to demystify and destigmatize these natural, yet often unspoken aspects of our human journey. Hello, everyone. I'm Tracy Arielli, end-of-life doula and founder of Comfort and Closure. Welcome to another episode. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that's important to your quality of life, yet it's often overlooked in discussions about planning for the future, long-term care insurance. Like many of you, I wasn't fully aware of what long-term care insurance was or that it even existed. Now, I was lucky that my parents brought it up. They had the foresight to purchase long-term care insurance for themselves, and seeing the benefit and security it provided, they encouraged me to look into it. And this led me to Brian Gordon of Gordon Associates. He not only guided me through the process, but also helped me understand the profound impact it could have on my life and the lives of my loved ones. Brian, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Tracy. Appreciate it.
Could you start off by telling us a bit about yourself and how you got involved in long-term care insurance?
I graduated college just like many of us did. And as I was going through and exploring things, I had done an internship and had done work at a real estate company a couple summers in a row and was thinking that might be a direction for me. And lo and behold, I graduated in May of 1990. And in April of 90, that company was no longer in existence. So I kind of rolled up the sleeves and my father, who started our agency back in 1975, business was growing. Demographics towards aging and baby boomers and things like that were ripe for it. And I started working for my dad part-time, really. And I started going on calls with him and drove around the Midwest to different areas, small towns, and worked with retired teachers and farmers and senior centers, and retirement communities. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. Like, there's never the same day. And we're helping people when they live long lives that they'll have an income coming in with the insurance we write for them. And I literally worked for my dad. I figured it was going to be a part-time job. And the resume actually never left my drawer. It's still sitting in my drawer today. So.
Now, for our listeners who might not be familiar, could you explain what long-term care insurance is and why it's important?
Sure. So long-term care insurance is a product that helps people pay for extended care as they age and maybe need some home health care, assisted living, people that need to go in a full-blown nursing home. And we look at it, the insurance is obviously a component of that, but we look at a real big picture of just long-term care planning in general. Just knowing that even if you don't have insurance, how might this play out if I needed care down the road, and how would this affect my family, my spouse, how the trickle-down effect would affect people if we had insurance and if we did not have insurance. So we've learned over the years, it's more the insurance is a way to help pay for it, but the real conversation people might have with their families is the long-term care planning conversation of what would happen if this were to happen to mom or I, or your grandparents, your aunt or uncle, and how this would look for us and down the road. So we take it on a little different level, that the insurance is one way to help pay for the cost of care, but there's a whole conversation that should happen with families as well, so that everybody understands what your wishes are at the end of the day.
So it's really about that quality of life and ensuring that you have a good quality of life, what you want as you get older. What kind of things does long-term care insurance cover and what doesn't it cover? And what's the difference between that and life insurance?
Sure. So with long-term care, the way I look at it, this is a living benefit. This is almost like our disability. This is really like our disability income insurance. And when it comes to long-term care insurance, I coined this to my grandmother because she bought a policy a little bit late in life. And she, every so often she would call and say, do I still need this? I'm 94, 95. Do I still need this? And I said, yeah, Graham, this is you take this to the end. And she's kind of called it the finish line insurance. I said, yeah, you need it towards the end. So it helps people make really good decisions. Whereas the life insurance side of it takes care of it when we're no longer here anymore. And it's designed to help either create some family wealth, could be there to pay some taxes, could creating accounts for, you know, for kids or grandkids going to college, different purposes with life insurance. Life insurance is there to take care of some of the obligations you might still have that maybe aren't complete yet in life too, for that. And the long-term care pays for the home care, assisted living, and really helps take care of you, you know, while you're living as well.
Great. How does Medicare factor in to, with the long-term care insurance?
Sure. So Medicare, along with like even traditional health insurance, like we have under age 65 for a lot of us, Medicare, they do a really good job for those of us who are going to rehabilitate themselves. We're going to get better, get back on our feet again. So hip replacements, knee replacements, back surgery, strokes, things that we're going to recover from, Medicare does a great job, and they can go up to about 100 days in a rehab type of facility to take care of that. I find on average, and my father ended up having an issue this past summer, the average that I find is about 21 to 22 days of rehab under Medicare, even though they can go to 100. I have a client right now in the suburbs of Chicago. He's on day 42 of rehab because he's not able to walk, but he's starting to make some progress. So as long as he's making progress, they'll help take care of him a little bit under Medicare.
I actually had a conversation with someone about long-term care and how if you're really rich in our country, you're fine. If you're really poor, you're kind of taken care of. But the middle class is really, we're left to defend for ourselves, basically. And so, as an example, when we go into assisted living, it could get really expensive. I'm not sure if viewers, if you've had the pleasure of looking at assisted care facilities and looking at the cost of that assisted care, but it is a lot. And so I feel a lot better having that policy that you gave me or that we worked on.
Well, are very humbled when they see what the cost of care is, and when I have them reach out in their areas and poke for some answer, get some questions answered, they're staggered by what the cost could be. It could be 6,000 to 18, 20,000 a month, depending on what people need help with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's just a care. That's not the housing and the food and so it's a lot. Having worked with you personally, I found your approach to guiding me through the policy and the options really empowering you. I always felt that you were educating me and then giving me that room to make the decisions. Now, what is your philosophy when advising individuals and their families on making these decisions?
So my philosophy is simple that when we do this, you hit the nail on the head. It's all about education first because 98% of the people, probably 99% of people I talk to, have no experience in this area. Thank goodness. They haven't dealt with family yet. They don't, you know, maybe some of them had friends go through it with their parents, but people are pretty naive and don't understand it. So it's kind of just explaining it from the top to the bottom of really what the plans are, you know, that our health insurance and Medicare don't does not cover this. And it's really just to put together a game plan of, you know, how much do you want to cover? And is insurance an important part for you? Because at the end of the day, there are some people, like you said, there are some people that are ultra wealthy that decide to self-fund that problem. And there are people that are ultra wealthy that buy this insurance as well. I have a lot of clients are fairly wealthy today because they want to have somebody else pay their bills. They also have sometimes children that can't make decisions. They have some children that sometimes feel very guilty about bringing in care into the home, go to assisted living. And I've had a lot of hard conversations with children and grandkids saying that, you know, when I was working with your parents or your grandparents, you know, they were of sound mind and they knew that if something were to happen to them, they did not want this burden on your shoulders. And that's why they have the insurance so you and your family can make good decisions on their behalf. And then eventually they bring in care. I had one family in who was a farmer, and his three daughters took care of him for 3 years. And I kept saying, "Why are you doing this? He's got an unbelievable policy. He'd be mortified if he actually knew you were doing this for him," because I had a really good relationship with them. They end up 3 years into the process bringing care for him. Dad lived another 7 years. And the girls ended up being managers instead of caregivers. And that's what we want. We want managers. I don't want my daughters taking care of me. I don't, what I did for them growing up is acceptable, but there's no way they're doing that for me.
I do find that a lot of caregivers that they feel guilty about bringing in extra help with bringing in the assisted living. And what I tell them is, hey, you want to be a husband, you want to be a son, you want to be a daughter. Bring in the help so that you could be that son or daughter and concentrate and focus on being that partner versus being a caregiver, because this is no one knows how long a person has in life. And so you want to focus on those relationships versus the caregiving. And it's a very difficult thing, that discussion. How customizable are these policies?
They are extremely customizable. There are a couple different types of long-term care policies, and I know we don't want to get into the kind of the mechanics of everything on that too, but we have what are called traditional policies where they're kind of like your home and your automobile insurance, where it just covers that. And if you don't use it, that's great that nothing bad happened to you at the end of your life, and I have no problem with that. And then we also have hybrid policies, which are life insurance with long-term care riders attached to them. So we will go through the process. We'll have people tell me all the time, I don't need life insurance. And I'll say, good, because what we're looking at is going to be a very small life insurance benefit with extremely high leverage for long-term care. And so we're able to show them that. And I want people to learn both types of policies because you don't know what you don't know. And this is a new subject for you. And I will tell you that my goal with anybody I work with whether it's someone in their 30s or 40s, or I'm dealing with someone a little bit later when they're buying it in their 60s, I want them to be the smartest one at the table with their friends, and they have good conversations and understand what they have. That's what we're all about. And gotten the business started with my father, and he basically said, "You treat people how you want to be treated, and you take your time with people to make sure they understand what you have." And the best thing is with Zoom nowadays, I can tell if people understand. They're not on phone calls with me as much anymore. So I really want to make sure they grasp it because we pride ourselves on making the decision right the first time and don't have to come back to rewrite our policies later on in our clients' lives.
I remember I spent a lot of time. This was pre-Zoom. I spent a lot of time with you on the phone, a lot. So I appreciate that. What misconceptions do you run into?
Misconceptions range from everywhere that these policies don't pay. I go online and they're just no company pays it. And I can tell you straight up that we have never had a legitimate claim not paid. We have over 900 policies in our office that have started a claim and stopped. So we have a lot more experience than many individuals in the business. Most people haven't written that many policies, let alone filed that many claims. So as long as the process is done right and they contact the agent or talk to the insurance company up front to manage the expectations, that's what we have to do nowadays is manage the right expectations. You might not like everything we tell you, even when you would ask questions and things, but we're going to give you the right answers so you can make the right decisions on it. We're not going to make the answer to appease you and give you the wrong information. It's not going to fly in our world here. So it's just seeing what's available and what your neighbor did might not be the same thing that you need to do for yourself. So treat it individually, and they're extremely customizable.
What is your typical process of assessing a person's and a family's needs and helping them choose a policy? Like if I'm brand new, I'm just walking in, can you tell us that process that you go through?
Sure. So our clients come to us from a lot of different avenues. They come through referrals from clients, a lot of financial advisors, accountants, and we get a fair amount off the internet as well. And really the first thing that we do with someone is really dial into their health. The most important thing is I can quote you till you're blue in the face, but we need to know what's going on behind, everyone, we all look good, but sometimes, under the hood, I say we've got some things going on. So it's finding out what you're doctoring for, what medications you have. You got to ask the question about a little about family history, about parents or siblings with any type of dementia or Alzheimer's. Once we have that information, if it's real clean and everything looks really good, we'll go ahead and we'll kind of prepare some quotes. We will set up a time to go over those quotes with the client and their advisor if they want, or their children or grandkids, and make sure that everybody's on the same page and understands what they're looking at. And it's a process. We go through, we show one the first set of quotes. We keep it simple. We found out at that first conversation what my client doesn't like or what they don't want for themselves. That's sometimes what you have to figure out first is what doesn't make sense, and then kind of back into what makes the most sense for you at that time. So it just it so so it's a process. We might have two or three meetings before someone makes a decision whether to buy it or not. And once we do that, as long as we have health, we have very good, I would say we have a very high percentage of people that end up getting policies if they go through our system properly. We have things that go sideways sometimes, and we have people that there's information in the records that we don't know about. So think we might have to answer questions once we apply, but we it's getting information up front, presenting, educating, having them talk to their families, and then us having more conversations down the road.
How might age and illnesses affect writing a policy or obtaining a policy?
Health will play into this huge. That's going to be kind of first and foremost. That's why we kind of lead with that conversation, because it's something that we want to manage the right expectations. If I present something to you, I want to make sure that that's a company that will accept you at the end of the day. I don't want to show you something and then be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, you can't get that, even though you want it." So we try to do it that way for people as well. And it just they just need to kind of grasp the concept and really ask a lot of questions, because people, I'll ask you the first time is, do you have any questions? And 90% of the people said, no, I need to get the information. I got to do more research and start talking to people. And then we give you questions to think about also as we're talking about the process of, where do you see yourself being taken care of? How are you going to pay for that? How are you going to have, what type of income do you have to pay for this care down the road? That's what you run into. And then people, the risk perception is it can be expensive. Some of these plans, they can be on the expensive side. It's not designed properly, but people also need to remember that you don't need 100% protection. You still have income and assets to draw on. What I look at the insurances to do is to give the family some good direction. It gives them access to care managers, that people that they can talk to locally in their area that'll give them direction, will find them caregivers, find them facilities, and the insurance just gives them direction. And I worked with a very affluent single gentleman years ago through a big bank here in the Chicago area, and he had a very large net worth. Someone that single might not look at it. And I went over it with him. I said, why are you looking at this now? What's making you concerned? Because your balance sheet is outstanding. Financially, you can afford to self-fund it. And he kind of looked at me. He's like, Brian, he's like, I've done well in life. I like to travel. I like to do things. And I look at this insurance as it's like a concierge for me. I was told that I have access to this and I have access to that. And I said, you do. And it gives you some good direction. He's like, that's why I want it. And I shut my mouth, and the advisor said I shouldn't even ask him questions, but I have to because I want to know why someone's doing that. And he said he wanted to make it easy on his nieces and nephews to bring in care into his home, and he wanted them to know that it was okay. So.
After a person takes and gets the policy, and when it's time to use it, how do you educate them to ensure that they're making the right decisions, as far as getting what the policy says that they are entitled to?
So the first thing that we always recommend is that you reach out to your agent, you reach out to someone like us, and we have the carrier do like a policy review, just so that the family knows exactly where those benefits are. I might have bought my policy today and it has $200 a day in coverage, but I might be filing the claim 20, 30 years later, and I might have, $12,000 to $20,000 a month in coverage. So we want to let the families know what they have to work with. We also want to talk to them about what the gatekeepers are going to be. Gatekeepers, our insurance, are what we refer to as benefit triggers. What allows you to receive benefits on these policies? And With an auto accident, death, those are usually pretty clear on how the benefits are paid out. With long-term care, it has to do with a cognitive ability, and it also has to do with being able to do your activities of daily living. So we have conversations with families, with kids, son-in-laws, daughters-in-laws, whoever it might be, and we go through those benefit triggers, and they're like, oh no, they can do all those activities themselves, but we're going out of town and they need meals prepared. And I'm like, well, this is not for a convenience. I go, she doesn't need help with her activities of daily living and she's not cognitively impaired. And then you have people that will say to you, they're not there yet. And then maybe 6 months from now, that they need help with getting out of bed and going to the washroom and showering, and or they've got a more severe cognitive impairment. So it's understanding what those triggers might be on the policy and what the benefits provide.
I think 99% of us don't work with insurance companies and don't know those triggers, don't know how to navigate that.
We're not something we're taught in school. I always say we're not taught that. So, yes.
Yes. What are some of the key factors that individuals should consider when choosing a good policy?
I think you got to look and see what you want to bring, what type of plan you want for yourself. And again, not to get too deep in the woods, but you have some policies that if you're going to stay at home, we're going to be required to bring in a licensed home care agency, which is what a lot of my clients gravitate towards because they want that insured, trained, licensed person. And we also have policies today where you can bring in anyone you want to. Once you qualify for benefits, you can pay for your family could take care of you. And I have some people that love that concept. I have some people that look at that policy and say, I don't want my kids taking care of me. I want that policy. I have to hire a licensed caregiver. So you get educated throughout the process. We will always show, as you know, we'll show you a chart, give you some choices. We go through those and you kind of eliminate what, like we talked about earlier, you eliminate what you don't like up front on that. And that's kind of how people go through the process. Some people want more monthly benefit. Some people want to, use more money out of their own pocket and use their own funds. You find a balance to what meets what your goals and your wishes are. And the important thing is that this fits into your budget. And what we like to see out there today, especially I've been in the business 34 years almost, is I like people that get paid up policies. I like to know that after 10 years, 5 years, whatever it might be, that you're not going to be paying this premium for the rest of your life on that end of it, which is a nice feeling.
Is there something that people should avoid? Does anything stand out as like a red flag? Do not do this.
I think that if you're shown only one company or one policy and you happen to work with a person that's like a captive agent with a carrier, you find a lot of times they really push their products and they don't show them what the market bears and what's out there for them sometimes. So I think that the biggest mistake you can make is not being shown more than one company. And you want to work with a person that has access to more than one carrier and also ask them what their process is if I go on to claim. Like most people ask their agent that question, like, oh, we give you an 800 number, you call the insurance company. In our office, we want you calling us because you know us. We're going to give you the information. If we don't know the right answer, we'll get it for you.
Now, many families find it challenging to discuss long-term care planning due to it's very emotional, right? Based on your experience, what advice can you offer to our listeners about initiating and navigating those really difficult conversations?
So I usually find that conversation extremely difficult with my clients and my friends' parents who are who are in their 80s, older than that, sometimes even like would have been my grandmother's generation as well. They didn't like to talk about any of this stuff. They think if you talk about it, it's going to happen. And I explained to them what's going to happen is going to happen whether you talk about it or not. So you can have your own, your own misconceptions on yourself with that. So I think that to have the conversation, sometimes it's really hard. We had a tough time with family as well with this. It's something that you have to charter those waters very lightly. And a lot of times it has to precipitate from the kids. It's like us having to ask our parents if you needed care down the road and you are going to live this long life that you keep talking about, What are we going to do if you end at the end of your life or the last 2, 3, 4, 6, 8 years, you need care for yourself? What are we going to do for you? What am I, myself, my brother, my sister going to do for you at the end of the day? You know, your kids to take care of you, because if you don't tell us, we're going to do what we think is right, whether you think so or not. And it's very challenging for kids to make decisions. And I tell kids all the time, my parents didn't tell me this. They didn't tell me that. I said, then it's your job to make the best decision with the tools you have. And you can't feel guilty about it because they just wanted you to react to this problem. Now, there's planners and there's people who react to the problem. And I find that my families that are planners, it just makes it easier on us when we have to make some of these tough decisions on what our parents or grandparents' wishes might be. So it's having the hard conversation. And do you want to be at home? Do you want to be in a facility? Do you want, you know, are you comfortable with hiring in someone that's not licensed? So these are hard conversations that I have. But as I tell my friends in our mid-50s right now, I'm like, you know, they're all reaching out to me for conversations on this. I'm like, now you're ready to have big boy and big girl conversations. You know, we're in our mid-50s. It's time to, you know, we're not getting any younger or healthier with that.
Yeah, I run into the same thing that planning, because I do, you know, the advanced care directives and I do other planning, and people my parents' age do not want to talk about it. They just do not, because it's that fear that they have. You talk about it, it's going to happen. It's going to, yeah. And what I find is that if you don't have those conversations, it's so much more difficult for the children, especially if there's more than one and they have very, they have different personalities, they have different beliefs. That is, it's a lot of tension. It's so much more difficult while the issues are happening. So much more difficult having or trying to have those conversations when you're going through that emergency, when you're going through that, than before, when you're fine and you're planning for it. And I know you work with people. You just mentioned before that you have spoken with the children when their parents are taking advantage of these, of the policies, and really advising the children, hey, this is what your father, this is what your mother wanted. That's right here on paper.
And I'm always like, they talked to me when they were of completely sound mind. I mean, and I'll tell them some stories if I remember some things about cock, and they're like, oh my God, you remember that? I said, yeah. I said, I took the time to understand what they wanted. I write things down, I take notes. And you know, they bought this because they didn't want you going in circles if they needed care down the road. And people look at it, I said, they didn't do it for themselves. They did it for you at the end of the day. A lot of times they don't do it for, I bought my policies for my daughter, so they don't have to deal with this. You know, type of thing too. So it's you know, people don't realize, and I know from what you do and things as well, you know how it affects people, and you know how the end affects them. But I'm dealing with things also before that end happens. But you know, so it's they're struggling in a lot of different ways. And what I tell people all the time is that, you know, as much as they're going through this, that we've dealt with this before. My care managers have dealt with this before, and there's a lot of people out there to get you through these things. And that's the great part about it today. It's just them trying to find that right resource for themselves.
In my job, I work closely with a lot of different healthcare professionals to make sure that my clients are provided the care they need. From your perspective, do you collaborate with healthcare professionals also just to make sure that your clients are taken care of? Is that part of your scope, part of your job?
So what I do is we have a whole resource for our clients that when they do become think they might need care and help for themselves, we do. They come to us. I would say 85% of the time we hear from our families of our policyholders, and whether I have to connect them to like a senior living expert, someone that helps them find the right community for their parent to go to. I had it last winter, not this winter, but a year ago, one of my friends in Chicago, his dad had a home in Palm Desert, had some bad ankle issues going on, had some surgery, and he calls me one day. He's like, my dad's spiraling. I'm like, your dad's a stellar golfer. He's active. I saw him in the summer. He's like, you have no idea what happened to him. He's ready to quit. And so we talked to each other. We got a hold of a care manager. They came out the next morning to see him, went to some doctor's appointments with him. 3 months later, he was back on the golf course, normal, back again. What he did do, though, is he did decide that he was going to come back towards the family and not have his home in California anymore, but he'll still travel and do things. But there's a situation that if my buddy did not have a policy with me and know what I did, him and his brothers, they would have had to fly out there and figure it out. And so when families call me, I work with such good people that they've had these conversations for a minimum of a dozen years with people, and there's nothing they haven't seen yet. And so we love connecting our families and clients with good, reliable resources. And I do a lot with home care agencies also. I have a couple of really good national ones that I refer my clients to. Not only do they get great care, but they also help make the claim process super easy for them. I had someone that decided to go on their own, had a disastrous experience with them. They reached out to me, and then I referred them to one of my agencies. Within about 10 days, 2 weeks, I got a call from the daughter. She's like, "Oh my God, we should have listened to you and hired this person to begin with." But I'm only there to give advice, and like anything, like our parents told us, we take the advice, we don't take some, and we figure it out on our own sometimes too. So.
Given the evolving nature of like healthcare and insurance the insurance industry, are there any changes that we should be aware of that are coming up?
So there's just not so much changes that there's the Washington CARES Act that came out. It was a tax to employees in the state of Washington if they did not have long-term care insurance, that they were going to be taxed on 0.6 tenths of a percent, so a little over a half a percent of their income to go into a state-funded long-term care plan that provides 1 year of protection at $100 a day for them. And there was no cap on that. So that's something that's coming out. I know that they're talking about it in other states. I know California is looking to do something. I know New York's looking to do something. So that's why we want to get people ahead of the curve nowadays also, because when Washington State came out with this, it locked down our whole industry. They couldn't process applications. They had more business coming in than they could handle. So in Washington's a fraction of the size of California. With that. So we're trying to get people ahead of the curve, and we really think it's an important plan for people. We think that the employer marketplace is starting to explode again. We're getting into more businesses. We're doing work with hospitals that are offering this to their employees. We have some hospitals that are looking to pay for it for their employees. So we're seeing long-term care coming into the work site, and our goal there is to hopefully educate, the 20, 30, 40-year-olds of the resources and services, and have them look at this insurance at much younger ages than a lot of people do these days.
Let's talk about the younger generation, because I know I got into we spoke when I was in my 40s,
Right.
and at what age should people be looking at this, and how does that age affect the cost and what type of insurance they can get? Because I was always under the assumption when you hit 50, you want to do this before you're 50.
Sure. So I always say the earlier the better. And I look at it, sometimes it's not so much the age that we're dealing with, it's financially where we are in life. I have 30-year-olds. I have a client that's in his mid-30s, and his mom was diagnosed with early onset dementia at 57 years old. And him and his partner ended up buying a long-term care plan when they were in their 30s. We came up with a very creative way to do it. They had lost one of their dads, and they had an IRA distribution. So they bought their policies from 37, and they paid it up in 10 years. And so they figured out how to do it. And I talk to them now, and they feel like they're geniuses on by doing it at a young age. So it's more financially where people are. If you have your expenses in check, you have limited debt, maybe a mortgage, something like that, I'm okay with. But we have people that are younger. Our average age of our clients in our office is about 54. Industry-wide in 2022, I think it was, I think they have the data on that, was about 57, 58. But really, the younger you are, the better. I bought mine when I was 37. My wife was 35. So I know that if I had to buy my policy when I was 50, it would cost us a fortune. And I had a friend of mine that was also in a position to buy at a younger age, and we recently did a review for him. It's been probably 10, 12 years. We did a review, and he's like, "What would this thing cost me today?" And I said, it would cost you 2.5 times what you bought. And by the way, you and your wife probably couldn't get it today because they both have had, some surgeries, and the companies would make them wait for a while with it. So, but it's
So the last question, what is the most important piece of advice you would give someone considering long-term care insurance today?
so I think the most important point to, when you're considering long-term care insurance, is look at a variety of different options. Look at multiple insurance companies. There is going to be an advantage and disadvantage of every policy, no matter what you're looking at. And I can, and I work with the best carriers out there. You can always have an advantage, disadvantage, and know what those are with the policies that you're looking at. And like I said, work with someone that's a broker. Work with someone that has access to multiple carriers. If they come in with one quote, I would never look at someone that shows me one quote. It's like going to shop for a car and only going to one dealership. It's the same thing. Even though the pricing is going to be the same for me, for anybody else, I'm going to show them four companies probably out of the gate just to look at them. And by the time we're done with our first conversation, we will eliminate at least one of those companies after we talk. And so just buyer beware, ask questions. If the agent can't answer a lot of questions on the spot for you, you're not dealing with a specialist. You definitely want to deal with a long-term care specialist. Just because you have a financial advisor, they might be great at financial advising, but they have no idea what they're doing with the insurance side of their world a lot of times. And that's why we partner with financial advisors, and we're there to help make sure that their clients have a lot of good choices to take a look at.
Brian, thank you so much for being on the show, for taking your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This is great. I appreciate it.
For those listeners who are interested in learning more about long-term care insurance or they'd like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
So you can either go onto our website. Our website is galtci.com, or we have a toll-free number as well. It's 800-533-6242. And I work with my brother-in-law, Peter Florek, and we both have over 30 years of experience in this industry, and we treat people how I want to be treated and how people should be treated. And we're there to answer any questions people have.
Wonderful, thank you. Folks, as we wrap up today's episode, I want to emphasize the importance of taking proactive steps towards ensuring your own well-being and quality of life. Especially as we age, long-term care insurance is one of the important options that empowers us to maintain our dignity and independence in later years. By considering it, we're not just looking out for our own futures, but we're also reducing the potential burden on our loved ones. Thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to comment below or reach out to me directly. And if you found this conversation to be helpful, I encourage you to like, share, comment, and subscribe to our podcast. Your support helps us bring more of these important conversations to light. This is Tracy Arielli from Comfort and Closure, wishing you peace and comfort in your journey. Until next time, take care.